every day, it's you I live for. Do you say that when you get up, when your feet hit the floor and you go for your tea, your coffee, your orange juice, whatever you're going for? Do you say, Lord, every day, it's you I live for? Say it with me. Every day, it's you I live for. One more time. Every day, it's you I live for. Now, some of you probably had that just flow off your lips, just like, yes, brother, that's who it is. He's my king. Now, some of you might have been, why is Randy always so loud? That's how I am. Ask my sister. She knows. I'm loud. But I'm also excited about my king. I'm excited about Jesus Christ in my life. And every day, it's him I live for. And I want to tell him that. I want to say, Lord, every day, it's you I live for. If you find yourself somewhere in the middle, you know, between blasé about it and excited about it, but you're in the middle and say, well, yeah, some days, Lord, I love to live for you, but when the hard times come, I'm all about me. This message is for you today, because God wants you to know that he has full ability and full purpose in his heart to do you good all the time. Are you in the middle of this every day? It's you I live for. Now, when we get up in the morning, when you get up in the first thing of the day, do you have on your lips, hallelujah, praise the Lord? Amen. I heard an amen. So somebody out there has a hallelujah, praise the Lord on their lips. You know, we are selfish people. We are. That's a fact. We love to complain. We love to say, Lord, why me? Why me? But what we need to be saying instead is, Lord, I want to give you the glory. I want to give you the praise today, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. You made me. You've molded me. You've called me. And it's you I live for. So I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to give you praise. The psalmist in Psalm 106, 1 says this, praise the Lord, oh give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen? You know, that sentiment is echoed over and over and over and over throughout the Old Testament, and really through the New Testament too. God is good, and his love endures forever. It doesn't matter how much we mess up. It doesn't matter how much we say, Lord, I don't have time for you today. I have my own problems. Lord, I don't want to get on your nerves by coming and praying the same prayer over and over and over again, because I know it would get on my nerves, Lord. Instead, God extends steadfast love to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He's good all the time to you, Christian. And he will cause good to come to you all the time. Do you believe that today? Hallelujah? All right. Now, you don't have this. For those of you that's got your Bibles, that's a concept in today's church, isn't it? We're so used to PowerPoints and everything else. Get your Bibles out. Now, I see some of you are like, man, I haven't brought a Bible to church in years. I want you to turn to Psalm 145, and we're going to read together a little bit. Psalm 145. I want to hear those pages turning. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day, I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all that he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You hear a theme running through that psalm? God loves everyone on the planet. Not just a few. He has special love and attention for his children that we call the church. But he loves and he hears and he helps all who call upon his name. Every day, it's you I live for, should be on the lips of everybody that's in this room today. You might not have thought of it that way before, but everything that you do, everywhere that you go, everybody that you meet, you should be dripping goodness, kindness, and love in everything that you say and do. You say, well, Randy, how's that possible? I have bad days. I have days that I want to live in the closet rather than live in the street. I have days, Randy, that I don't want to get out of bed. I'm depressed. I don't even like myself. So how can I drip kindness, goodness, and love? Because you're God's children. You're God's child. Even on your worst days, God is good to you. And he's good for you. You know, mercy, grace, and love is a theme throughout scriptures as well. Mercy. Why do we need mercy? Well, we typically do things that's hurtful to other people. We typically are selfish a lot of times in our thinking and in our actions. We are selfish with God. Every time that you say, well, we've done everything that we can do, all that's left is prayer. What is that telling God? That's telling God that, Lord, you're our last hope. Now, he is maybe for those people the last hope. But you see, for those of us who are called by the name of his son Jesus, Christian, he is the only hope and he is all sufficient in that hope. We should be going to the Lord on everything that we're coming and going in our minds. Everything that comes and goes in our minds. I need to make the house payment. Where's that money going to come from? Lord, I know you can send a blessing to me. My children are sick. My children are acting out. I don't know how to deal with that. Lord, I know that you can cause that to turn around. My loved ones are struggling in life, and my heart hurts for them. Lord, I know that you can help them. You see, that's the dynamic of the Christian. That's the dynamic of who we are in Christ. And that's why I can say every day it's you I live for. Because we're always considering and we're always lifting up our need to the Lord. Now, it's just not need. Remember the very first thing I told you is hallelujah, praise the Lord. Why are you going to praise God if you don't feel praise in your heart? And you have to ask yourself, why don't I feel praise in my heart toward God, who gives us all things? Moses was a man that God picked at an early age, but he ran away. And so God let him be a shepherd in the desert for 40 years. So at 80 years old, Moses is thinking, I'm going to die in this desert. You know, he's born a prince of Egypt. He was actually born a slave, but he became a prince of Egypt through circumstances that God put in place. And God talked to Moses, you know, the story in the burning bush in the desert. The bush burned with fire, but it wasn't consumed, didn't burn up. And Moses wanted to see, what is the deal with this bush? And so God began to talk to Moses from the bush. Any of y'all ever have that burning bush in your backyard that didn't burn up? Just caught fire and just stayed there and you wondered what it was and you went out in the backyard and no? None of you. Okay. Just checking. Moses began to speak with the Lord. And in talking to God, God told him many, many things that was wonderful for Moses. But Moses never could get enough of it. Never could get enough talking with God. And in doing that, he says, Lord, I would ask a favor of you. And God's like, ask? And he says, I want to see you as a man sees another man. And God says, no one can see my face and live. But I'll do this for you, Moses. I'll take you out here. We're in the desert already. But I'm going to take you, I'm going to put you in this rock up here. And I'll walk by. And I'll let you see me from the side and from behind. See who I am. So as the Lord began to walk past Moses, he said this. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Yeah, it's an interesting thing that God would say to Moses because God is describing himself. If someone asked you, who are you? What would you say? Well, my name is Randy. No, that's not what I ask you. Who are you? Who are you? Could you answer that question? God answers the question for Moses. Moses didn't say, who are you? But God gives him this answer. He says, I'm the Lord. That's who I am. That's the name that you'll know me and all generations will know me by. And then he begins to give his attributes of who he is. He's merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger. And he's abounding in steadfast love. He's faithful to his promises. And he keeps steadfast love for thousands. And he forgives sin and iniquity and transgression. That is who God is. Whenever you hear that and you think about your life, who you are you like this? You're not God, obviously, but are you like this that God says, I'm merciful, are you merciful? I'm gracious, are you gracious to others? Are you slow to anger? Do you abound in steadfast love? Steadfast is no matter what, I keep loving. No matter how much stupidity other people perpetrate upon me, I'm making a decision. I'm going to love. I'm not going to not quit loving. And do you forgive? Do you forgive? These are all attributes of God that God says, I want you all to have too. So now that I've thoroughly disheartened you because you're looking at me like, Randy, I can't be any of that. I've got so many problems in my life that I can't do that. Well, know that God, whenever he speaks to you, he's going to give you grace upon grace. He's going to give you mercy upon mercy. And he's going to pour out his spirit and touch your heart that, yes, you can be like that. All you have to do is to ask. The Lord gives us grace to revive our spirits. Anybody in here needs their spirit revived today? Several. Need your spirit revived. Go to the Lord. You know, Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. He says, come to me and I'll give you water that'll fill up your spirit. So much so that it'll overflow. But do we do that? I want you to think about this for a second. Whenever you are exhausted and tired, and beat down? Do you go first thing to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm exhausted, beat down, and tired. I need you to revive my spirit. Or do you go to the TV? Or do you go to something or someone else? Where do you go to be revived? What is it that you do personally when you feel that to be revived? Jesus is the one that tells us, he promises us, I'll give you revival in your heart. But do you do that? Do you go to the Lord and be revived? Listen to how John describes Jesus. This is John chapter 1. It says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And then after Pentecost came, Peter was preaching right afterwards. And the people, after they heard the preaching, says, we've done a grievous thing in rejecting Jesus as the Christ. What can we do? And Peter says to the people, so change the way you think and act and turn to God to have your sins removed. Then times will come when the Lord will refresh you. He will send you Jesus, whom he has appointed to be the Christ. Isn't that something? These people are convicted over sending Jesus to the cross. They're the ones saying, crucify him, crucify him. They were in consent with that. And then they're cut to the quick through Peter's praise of God and through his preaching of the word. And they say, what can we do? And so what does he say? Change the way you think and act and turn to God. Change the way you think and change the way you act and turn to God. So often, as Christians, we've already turned to God. We're already there. But we know that we still struggle, and we wonder, where is the more abundant life that Jesus promised us? Change the way you think and change the way you act. Well, how should I think? How should I act? We need to be aware that God is constantly telling us, God is constantly in communication with us, giving us, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to be. And you say, how is that, Randy? How does he constantly talk to me? It's that still small voice in every one of you. Whenever you're in any kind of situation, you see someone in need, do you pass them by or do you stop and you give them help? You have someone that cries out in pain, pain of the heart. Do you say, it'll get better? Or do you sit down and you cry with them? You listen and you cry with them. Not because you feel their pain, but because they're in pain. Whenever you are going to the grocery store or going to any place that you have to do business, and you see something, you hear something, and you're like, that's not right. And then that still small voice says, I want you to go and I want you to talk to that person. Oh, Lord, I don't even know that person. And they seem pretty hostile to me. You know, God wouldn't send you to do anything that he wouldn't have already prepared the heart of that individual to hear. He wouldn't send you. He wouldn't have the still small voice inside you saying, go speak to that person. I'll give you the words to speak. You see, it's these types of things that we deal with daily in life. That we're in constant communication with the Lord, but we like to squelch it out when it doesn't suit our purposes. And we're wondering, Lord, I want that time of refreshing. The times of refreshing come not just out of the blue. The times of refreshing comes when you're obedient to the word of God, to the word that God has given you in your head. How is that? Because when you give, people, God is going to make sure that people give back to you. God's going to bless your heart in some way. It's not that you're, you know, we're doing it for personal gain. You know, if I give Tula a dollar, just say, here you go, Tula, here's a dollar. I hope it helps you out with the candy that you told me you wanted. And I'm expecting that Tula is going to somehow, well, when I'm in need, Tula is going to give me back that dollar. You see, I'm doing it with wrong intent. I'm giving it to her thinking I'm going to get something back from her in return somehow. No, what we want to do is we want to give, not expecting anything back in return, knowing that God himself will give us more than enough. That's our hearts. That's who we are as human beings, and that's our struggle in life. God is gracious. He's kind. He's merciful. He's loving. He's faithful to his promises. But we have to do our part. You see, I see it in the church all the time. Are we willing to do what God calls us to do? And you've heard Brother Larry preach it. I've heard it many times. I don't know what God has called you to do. Only you do it. And it's a day-to-day-to-day thing. It's a moment-by-moment-by-moment thing. Are you being faithful to the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your heart to live out this life in Christ? Every day, Lord, it's you I live for. Every day. It's hard, isn't it? Because we want to slink back into old ways. Change the way you think and act. If you change the way you think and the way you act and you turn to God, times of refreshing will come. Christ's redeeming love for me makes my heart sing. When y'all come to church in the very first of the church, do y'all have songs in your heart? You know, you're singing a lot of songs. We sing several songs throughout the service. Do you have a song in your heart? Listen to the song that John sings in 1 John 4:7-11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You know, at the Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples, I give you a new commandment. You haven't heard this before. Love one another as I have loved you. And in doing so, others will know that you are my disciples. Do people know that you're a Christian without you ever speaking a word of Christ, just by your actions? And that links us to the work that we do. You know, it doesn't matter what your job is in the world. It doesn't matter if you're a student. Doesn't matter if you're working at a Dairy Queen or you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Doesn't matter what you do. If you are a Christian, there's God's work to be done in whatever it is you're doing in life. John 5:17 says, but Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I'm working. And a little further on in John, chapter 6, verses 27-29, he says, do not work for food that perishes, but work for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Believe in Jesus. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do? You know, that was a very popular thing back in the 90s. You see those WWJD bracelets everywhere. But it's still just as common today in our hearts as it was then. And when Jesus said this, this is the work of God, that you believe in whom he has sent. If you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and he's your Lord, your Savior, he's your King, then you need to do the work that he's doing. And again, it's simply following the word of God in your heart, in all that you say and all that you do. So finally, how do you become more like Jesus? How can we be like him? Paul writes in Romans 8, chapter 28 and 29, he says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, and those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." God works together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. You know, the purpose is doing the work of God. All right, so you got to do the work. You got to be doing work every day. It's you I live for. And in doing that, you're going to be conformed. In other words, you're going to be molded. You're going to be made by God through doing the work, living the life day by day. You're going to become just like Jesus. That's hard for us to believe that that would ever happen. We look around, look at each other in this place today. Go ahead, look across the aisles. Look behind you, look in front of you, look at these people. Every one of these people in this room that's called by the name of Christ that have Jesus in their heart, every one of you are going to be just like him forever. And it's because we love him and do the work that he's had us to do. Finally, Lord, you make me just how you want me to be. That's a prayer of mine all the time. Lord, you make me how you want me to be. You know, in Jeremiah, I'm just going to quickly read this. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I anointed you as a prophet to the nations." And you're thinking, well, what has that got to do with me? I'm not a prophet to the nations. How do you know? And even if you're not a prophet, you're whatever God calls you to do, to be. You are created before time began for a purpose specifically for the time that you live in right now. Are you fulfilling the purpose that you're created? And the bottom line to all that is, just be yourself. You don't have to be somebody else. You don't have to be like somebody else, because you're being conformed to the image of Jesus. So you're going to be like Jesus. But the personality that you have, now all those flaws that you think you've got, where do you think all that came from? You are made just like God wants you to be. But we're becoming all the time. We're not there fully yet. We don't fully know what we're going to be yet. Listen to what Paul writes to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10. God has made us what we are. Hear that? God has made us what we are. He has created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works that he has prepared for us to do. So only you can do the work just as God gives you to do that work. No one else can do it like you would do it. And God wants you to do it just as he has created you to be. Doesn't want you to change, just like you are. Now, this message today, I'm sure, has stepped on some toes. Anytime that you hear things that you're not yet, every day, it's you I live for. If you're one of those people, "Oh, Randy, every day it's not God who I'm living for. It's me who I'm living for." That's got to step on your toes. But the message is given to build you up so that you become exactly who God has called you to be. He doesn't want you to stay just like you are, and he's not going to make you stay just like you are. But we all have work to do in that. Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, send me. Use me. Mold me. Fill me. That is your work. Is believing that he will, believing in Jesus, that he's going to make you exactly who you need to be.